you tuned to yesterday, featuring programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Lavonier. Coming up in this hour, sitcoms. Later on, Lucille Ball stars in My Favorite Husband from 1950. But first, a broadcast of The Magnificent Montague, starring actor Monty Woolley. Heard on NBC on May 12, 1951.
Montague, starring Monty Woolley. Yes, it's The Magnificent Montague, the Saturday night transcribed feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television. And by Anacin for fast relief from pain of headaches, neuritis, and neuralgia. Before we hear from The Magnificent Montague, let's hear from RCA Victor. Rain or shine, every day all year round, you'll find television is a lot of fun. That's the best reason to buy television. And the best television console you can buy is the RCA Victor Regency, because it's perfect for performance and value, quality and economy. The RCA Victor Regency brings you clear, bright television reception on a big 17-inch screen. The Regency brings you all the assurance that comes with RCA Victor million-proof television, proven in well over 2 million homes. And you'll never see a console cabinet to rival the Regency for beauty. The complete instrument is a magnificent example of RCA Victor craftsmanship that you'll be proud to have in your home. What's more, only when you buy RCA Victor television can you own the practical RCA Victor factory service contract for expert installation and maintenance. So inquire about the RCA Victor factory service contract when you buy the Regency. And now, The Magnificent Montague. Life remains a tragedy for The Magnificent Montague. This former monarch of the Shakespearean stage, though five times a week he is Uncle Goodhart, hero of an afternoon program, still dreams of the return to the stage of who, in his estimation, is the world's greatest living actor, Edwin Montague. It is afternoon in the Montague apartment. His wife, Lily, and Agnes, the Montague maid, are home. The doorbell rings.
Well, Agnes, there's someone at the door.
I'll get it, honey. I think it's that cute new mailman.
Coming, dear.
Hello there. It's Western Union. What is it?
Are you Sam Harrison?
I'm going to kill that barber for talking me into this haircut. He said I look like Mary Martin. I came out looking like Martin Kane.
The Harrisons across the hall are not home. We'll take the telegram and give it to them.
Okay with me, lady. Sign here.
There. Oh, Agnes, shame on you, dolling up for the mailman, making eyes at the Western Union man.
I know, honey, but I'm trapped in this apartment. The only man I ever see is that husband of yours. After him, anything looks good.
Oh, Agnes. Edwin is considered very handsome.
If you like hedgehogs.
Agnes! Well, if there's one thing I won't tolerate, even from you, it's jokes about Edwin's beard.
Okay.
Wouldn't say things like that to his face.
His face? Who can find it?
Stop that. Oh, wait. I think I hear Sam and Martha Harrison coming home. We have a telegram for them.
I'll call them. Sam! Martha!
Oh, hello there, Agnes.
Come in, Sam. Hello, Martha.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Montague?
We called you in because we have a telegram for you. It was delivered to us.
A telegram?
Here it is.
By Jove, I hate to get telegrams. Frightens me to death. Here, Martha, will you open it and read it?
Yes.
Well, Martha?
Yes?
Is it from your sister, Emily?
Yes.
She's having another baby?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
And she wants us to come to St. Louis right away?
Yes.
I must say, Martha, my love, you read that telegram beautifully.
Sam, does that mean you and Martha are off to St. Louis?
Immediately. That Emily doesn't kid around. When you get her telegram, that means SOS. It's later than you think. Yeah. Well, Martha,
Well, what is it, Sam?
What are we going to do with our daughter, Gwendolyn, this year?
Well, don't you take Gwendolyn along on the trip?
Not since she outgrew the half-fare ticket.
Oh. Well, how long are you going to be gone?
Only a week.
Well, then why don't you leave Gwendolyn with us?
Well, that's terribly kind of you, Mrs. Montague. If it's all right with you, we'll bring Gwendolyn in just before we go. You coming, Martha?
Yes.
Agnes. Agnes, get ready for a guest.
What's up, honey?
The Harrisons are going to St. Louis, and I've asked them to leave their daughter, Gwendolyn, with us for a week.
Honey, are you nuts?
Now, Agnes.
Have you slipped your trolley?
Listen.
You snapped your cap? You're bringing a child to live for a week in the same house with Montague?
You'll see, Agnes. Edwin and Gwendolyn will become real pals.
Like Rita and Allie. Honey, for a week with that monster. Give the kid a fighting chance.
Oh, stop exaggerating. Think of it, Agnes. A little child living with us. She'll bring her youth into our apartment.
And she'll leave it there.
Oh, let me handle it, Agnes. It won't come as a shock to him. I'll explain gradually that... Oh, that must be Gwendolyn.
I'll let her in.
I'll start getting her room ready.
The little darling. Coming, sweetie. Come right in, Sugar Plum.
Oops.
Why, Agnes, I didn't know you cared.
Oh, it's you. I don't.
Sugar Plum.
Agnes, it's Bunnykins arrived. Oh, it's you, Edwin.
Who are you expecting? Jackie Coogan?
Now, Edwin.
What's going on here? Agnes calls me Sugar Plum. Now you come in with Bunnykins. Have you any other names for me?
Yeah, but let's keep it clean, huh?
Agnes. Now listen, Edwin. Sam and Martha Harrison are leaving for St. Louis for 1 week.
The Harrisons gone for a week?
Edwin, let me go on. Their little daughter, Gwendolyn.
Gwendolyn? With that noisemaker away for a week, this will be an isle of paradise.
Well, Edwin, Gwendolyn is a very quiet child. You'd never hear a word out of her.
Well, who could hear anything out of her over the roar of her eternal roller skates?
Edwin, you have to change your attitude toward children. They have a right to live.
Why? Lily, children are a menace to civilization. Look what they're responsible for. Measles, chicken pox, mumps, and Milton Berle.
Edwin, you were a child yourself once.
That's a dirty thing to say about anybody. Oh, Lily, they're dreadful little creatures. I don't want to hear any more about children.
Oh, that's Sam Harrison to say goodbye.
To say goodbye? Well, let's not keep him here a minute longer than necessary. Come in.
Hello, Mr. Montague.
Goodbye, Sam.
Well, here's Gwendolyn.
Hello.
Goodbye, Gwendolyn.
Goodbye? Well, I thought
Sam,
she was...
you go ahead. I'll explain.
Goodbye.
Edwin, I've been trying to tell you.
What?
Gwendolyn is staying with us for the week.
Gwendolyn is staying with us?
Yes.
Excuse me, I have a Fig Newton in the oven.
Agnes, stay here. Now, Edwin.
Lily, how can you do this to me?
Now, Edwin, you be quiet. Gwendolyn is staying with us, and we're going to make her happy.
Hello, Uncle Eddie.
Uncle Eddie. All right, Gwendolyn. Don't just stand there in the hall. Come in.
Thank you, Uncle Eddie.
Gwendolyn, dear, do you want to take your skates off, or do you want Uncle Eddie to take them off with your feet still in them?
Edwin, I won't have you talk that way to this child.
But, Auntie Lily, if my skates annoy Uncle Edwin, I'll gladly take them off.
Oh, isn't that cute?
See how sweet she is, Edwin?
Sweet? How you women can be taken in.
Gee whiz, Auntie Lily. Just think, I'm living in the same house with Uncle Goodheart.
Edwin, did you hear? She listens to your Uncle Goodheart radio program.
I heard her. So she listens to that drivel.
Drivel? Oh, Uncle Eddie, you have such a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
I bet when you acted on the stage, you were really magnificent, just like they used to call you.
I left the stage before you were born. How did you know I was called Magnificent Montague?
I had to look up your whole career in the library when I wrote my composition in school.
Composition?
It was called My Favorite Actor. All the other girls picked Van Johnson and Gregory Peck, but I picked you, Uncle Eddie.
Really, my child?
Yes, Uncle Eddie.
Well, here, my child, let me help you take your skates off.
Oh, Edwin, isn't she wonderful? Agnes, go and get dinner ready.
Lily, what a difference in the house.
Oh, come, Edwin. We have to fix up Gwendolyn's room.
Oh, can't I help you?
No, darling. You're our little princess. You must just sit and look pretty.
Oh, come, Edwin. Isn't she divine?
Oh, she's adorable.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. The residence of Mr. and Mrs. Edwin Montague. This is Gwendolyn, the little girl from next door. Who's calling, please? Mrs. Schwarzkopf of the Red Cross. You want Aunt Lily to be at the meeting of the ladies' auxiliary tonight? I'm sorry. I don't think Aunt Lily will be able to be there. She's really in no condition. You see, Uncle Edwin just beat her up. She came home blind drunk. Yes, the sixth time this week. Thank you, Mrs. Schwarzkopf. Goodbye. London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge. Hello? Who? Parents Teachers Association? You want Uncle Edwin to speak at a meeting? I'm sorry, I don't think he'll be able to. No, he's in jail. He's smuggling diamonds into the country. He was getting away with it for years. He brought them in his beard. London Bridge is falling down, falling down.
Yesterday was a big day in the Montague home. Their neighbor's little daughter, Gwendolyn, came to stay with them. Lily and Edwin have been happily shopping for toys. Agnes has been baking little cakes. And Gwendolyn has been answering the phone. It is the next day. The morning sun rises on a happy home.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. Oh, Agnes.
Yeah, honey?
Children bring out the sweetness in everybody. Incidentally, Mrs. Schwarzkopf, president of my Red Cross chapter, could stand a little sweetness.
What happened?
Well, I can't understand it. I met her in the market this morning. When I mentioned I was planning a cocktail party to raise funds, she said, fine, you can drink up all the profits. Then she handed me this pamphlet and ran. Here, look at it.
Let me see it. Don't be a burden to your loved ones. Join Alcoholics Anonymous.
Agnes, what did you tell her when she phoned yesterday? She said...
I tell her. I didn't speak to her. The only one here was Gwendolyn.
Gwendolyn.
Did you call Auntie Lily and Cousin Agnes?
Come here, Gwendolyn, dear.
Yes, dear Auntie Lily.
Gwendolyn, did Mrs. Schwarzkopf of the Red Cross call me yesterday? And did someone say I was too drunk to answer the phone?
Yes, Auntie Lily.
And who said that?
Uncle Edwin. He answered the phone.
Edwin? Well, he was with me. Gwendolyn, that's a fib.
You're calling me a liar.
Gwendolyn, I won't have it. Oh, Edwin.
Quiet. What are you two doing to this little child?
Edwin, she's been lying. Edwin. Well, when Mrs. Schwarzkopf called yesterday, Gwendolyn said I was too drunk to answer the phone.
Too drunk to...
Oh, Edwin, how can you laugh at such lies?
Lies? Why, Lily, she's a child. And do you want to stifle that rare gift too few children have, imagination?
Imagination? The whole neighborhood thinks I'm a drunk.
Come here, my poor abused little child.
Dear Uncle Edwin.
Wipe away those tears and remember, Gwendolyn, don't let them crush your imagination. Let it soar like the wings of an eagle. Hi! Unchallenged. Well, I'll get it, Lily. Hello? Oh, Mr. Flugel.
That's the sponsor of Edwin's Uncle Goodheart program.
That. Hello? What, Mr. Flugel? Try and keep what out of the newspapers? What? But Mr. Flugel. Look, I'll explain it all to you at the station today. Goodbye.
Edwin, what is it?
Quiet. Gwendolyn.
Yes, Uncle Edwin.
Did you answer the phone when Mr. Flugel called me yesterday?
The telephone?
Did you tell him I was in Reno?
Reno?
Reno, Nevada. Getting a divorce from Lily so I could marry Dagmar. Lily, get me my hairbrush.
Edwin, stop.
Let me go. I'm going to give this little liar the spanking of her life.
Right on her little imagination.
Dagmar, I'll teach you to answer the phone.
Edwin, someone's at the door.
Lily, we have a little viper in our nest.
Quiet, quiet. Answer the door, Agnes.
Okay. I'll commence Mr. Jarvis, president of the Proscenium Club.
Montague. Montague.
Oh, hello, Jarvis.
Montague. The heavens are bright once more, and once again the sun is shining on Elsinore.
Jarvis, let's get to the point.
Modest Montague. It's off to England with you, bearing the bright standard of the Proscenium Club.
England?
To think that at last you, Montague, have been chosen. The American Shakespearean acted to participate in the annual Shakespearean Festival in England.
Edwin, you finally made it.
Jarvis, it's been my dream.
I'm so happy for you, Uncle Edwin.
Oh, thank you, Gwendolyn. Being chosen after all these years, my Lily, the child has brought me luck. This is our little darling, Gwendolyn Jarvis.
Well, little darling, she is indeed. It was from her own sweet little lips that I heard the good news that you were going to England when I phoned here yesterday.
I'll kill her!
Not you!
Oh, no, how could she have done this to me?
But, Uncle Edwin, when I read the story in the paper that England was going to invite the leading Shakespearean actor in America to their festival, I knew it would be you.
It's never me.
That's because they don't know how wonderful you are. That's why I wrote a letter to King George, and I'm getting all my classmates to write letters.
Montague, out of the mouth of babes, we'll all write letters. The Proscenium Club will petition the king. Your lifelong contribution to the Shakespearean stage must be rewarded.
Jarvis is hopeless.
No, it shall be done. On wings of hope, I fly back to our members. The petition will be cabled at once. I fly.
Edwin, do you think...
Lily, it's too fantastic.
Don't give up hope, Edwin. Miracles can happen. Now get along to the radio station.
I'm going.
Give a good performance, dear.
There's going to be a great performance. Me explaining to the sponsor why I'm not going to marry Dagmar. Goodbye.
Yes, Mrs. Schwarzkopf. I told a terrible lie about Aunt Lily. I just made it up about her drinking. I'm going to be a good girl from now on. Goodbye.
Well, that takes care of Mrs. Schwarzkopf.
That cleans up all the calls she made. Except for Mrs. Schmidt, the janitor's wife. She kept hanging up.
Miss, we'll have to go down the hall and explain to Mrs. Schmidt that it was Gwendolyn who answered the phone and said she just saw her husband's head come up on the dumb waiter.
Oh, Auntie Lily, I'm so sorry I said those things.
All right, Gwendolyn.
I'll never, never do it again.
I think you've learned your lesson, Gwendolyn. Come, Agnes.
Coming.
I'll never, ever, ever, ever tell another lie. Cross my heart and... and hope to... One bridge is falling down. Hello? Mr. Jarvis? What wonderful news? A telegram from the British Embassy inviting Uncle Edwin to England? Oh, Mr. Jarvis, it came too late. What? Didn't you hear about it? Uncle Edwin passed away this morning. Mr. Jarvis! London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. Oh, it's you, Uncle Eddie.
Hello, sweetheart.
Poor Uncle Eddie. Why don't you lie down in your den? Here. Come in. I'll smooth down the couch for you. There.
Ah, this is restful. Thank you, Gwendolyn. Oh, I need a little nap. I'm dead.
Sleep, Uncle Edwin. I'll leave you all alone.
Gwendolyn, what were you doing in Edwin's den?
Uncle Edwin came home very tired, and I made him take a little nap.
Good. Now, Agnes, see that Gwendolyn gets her bath and is ready for bed. Uncle Eddie and I will come in and kiss you goodnight.
I'm going to pray that Uncle Edwin gets invited to England.
Come here, Gwendolyn.
Yes, Auntie Lily.
Now, don't be too disappointed if they don't invite Uncle Edwin. He's been turned down for 25 years now, and every year, poor old Jarvis is broken-hearted.
Oh, Auntie Lily.
Now get ready for bed.
Come on, kid, into the tub.
Oh, I'll get the door, Agnes. You go ahead. Coming. Oh, Jarvis.
Oh, Lily. Lily.
Oh, now, Jarvis, don't take it so hard.
I came here as soon as I heard the news.
Well, Jarvis... that's life.
Lily, to think that only yesterday in the same room we were all together. He laughing and happy and so hopeful.
Not really, Jarvis. I think deep down in his heart he knew this was coming.
He knew. He knew, and yet he kept up his spirit to the end. The show must go on. Where is he, Lily?
Well, he's lying in his den.
In his den. Oh, that's just the way he would have wanted it, surrounded by his beloved volumes of Shakespeare. Lily. May I see him?
Oh, yes, all right. But be quiet, this way. Come in, Jarvis. There he is.
Oh, how natural he looks. He's at last joined Shakespeare.
Jarvis.
Oh, the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. They have their entrances and their exits.
Their exits and their entrances.
Thank you. Their exits and their entrances. And one man in his time plays numerous parts.
Oh, plays many parts. You never get it right, Jarvis.
Thank you, Montague. Plays many...
Jarvis, what's wrong?
Gad, you're pale as a ghost.
A ghost, eh?
Jarvis, what are you talking about?
I was told you were dead. Little Gwendolyn...
Gwendolyn!
Did you call me Uncle Eddie?
Get over my knee, young lady. Lily, my hairbrush.
But Uncle Eddie...
Quiet! You fooled me for the last time. You lied to Mr. Jarvis when he called.
Yes, Gwendolyn. After I told you about the telegram from the British ambassador, you said Mr. Montague was dead.
Yes, after he told you about the telegram. Jarvis, what do you mean?
Well, here it is, Montague. Read it.
Oh, Edwin, it's true. It's true.
Listen. Edwin Montague, Esquire, His Majesty the King of England... invites you to participate in the forthcoming Shakespearean festival. This is a command performance. Your immediate presence is requested. Signed, the British ambassador.
Oh, Jarvis, your petition worked.
No, Lily, it was Gwendolyn in her simple little letter.
Gwendolyn, I was about to spank you, the one person who made my dream come true. England. Gwendolyn, let me kiss your hand.
Get up, Uncle Eddie. You get to England right away and really show them how to act.
England, Gad, Lily, my trunks.
Edwin, have you everything?
Everything. Goodbye, Lily.
Edwin, can't we go down to the pier?
There's no time. The boat leaves in a few moments. Goodbye, Agnes.
Goodbye.
Edwin, the telegram from the British ambassador.
I have it, Lily, right with my passports. Goodbye. I'm off for England.
Goodbye. Well, Agnes, he's gone.
He finally made it.
Yes, his dream. And if it wasn't for little Gwendolyn... Where is she?
I just put her to bed. I'm going to tuck her in.
Oh, wait, wait. I'll go with you.
Okay. Here's her room. Shh, she may be asleep. Ah, look.
What?
She's saying her prayers.
Let's listen.
And bless Mommy and Daddy and Aunt Emily's new baby and Aunt Lily and Cousin Agnes.
Oh.
And please forgive me for sending that telegram and signing it the British ambassador.
Oh, no. She sent the telegram. Call the Queen Mary. We can still stop it.
Let him go, honey. With a meat shortage in England, a ham like him will be welcome.
Agnes, call the boat.
Listen again next week, friends, to The Magnificent Montague, starring Monty Woolley. The Magnificent Montague was written by Matt Hyken and Billy Friedberg. Anne Seymour was Lily. Pert Kelton was Agnes. Also heard on tonight's program were Art Carney, Gavin Gordon, and Denise Alexander. This is Don Pardo.
The Magnificent Montague, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from the 12th of May, 1951. If you were dialing up stations in the New York City area on that Saturday night at 8:30 when The Magnificent Montague was on station WNBC, you could also have heard Hopalong Cassidy on WCBS, Gilbert and Sullivan's comic opera Ruttigore on WMCA, WOR's Where to Retire program, or the start of the Brooklyn Dodgers and Boston Braves game on WMGM. That game actually ended up in a tie at 5 runs apiece after 12 innings, a tie being a relatively rare occurrence in the game. And with that one in particular, it probably reminded some listeners of the longest tie game in baseball history in terms of innings, where the same two teams, Brooklyn and Boston, on May 1st, 1920, played for a full 26 innings before it became too dark to see the ball, tying them at 1-1. While that may seem like a lot, the play was a lot faster in those days, and the game clocked in at just under 4 hours. This is an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Lucille Ball and Richard Denning and My Favorite Husband from CBS, first heard on January 6th, 1950.
It's the new gay family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. If you were a little bird looking down the main street of the town where Liz Cooper lives, you'd see a strange sight right about now. Cars are pulling out of the way. Pedestrians are scurrying to the curb. Dogs and small children are cowering against the buildings. For coming down the street is an automobile with Liz Cooper at the wheel. She signals for a left turn and goes straight ahead. Now she's making another signal. I don't know what that means. Oh, she's waving at George, who's waiting in front of the bank. Now she pulls over to the curb and comes to a gentle stop.
Hi, George, I'm here.
So I see.
Say, I didn't do a bad parking job, did I?
No, only two wheels are up on the sidewalk.
Well, come on, we're late and it's my fault. Get in.
I can't.
Why not?
The front wheel is on my foot.
Oh. It is not. Now, come on. I'm sorry I'm late, dear. Were you waiting long?
No, just a few hours.
Oh, you're so funny.
Liz, what was the idea of signaling a left turn and then going straight?
Well, I was going around the block, so I'd be headed the right way, but I changed my mind.
You should have a special signal of your own, which means, as you were, I changed my mind. Why can't you make a decision and stick to it, Liz?
I do.
Oh, sure. I'll bet I know why you were late. You couldn't decide which dress to put on.
No, Smarty. I put on the first dress I took out of the closet.
Well, then why were you late?
I didn't like the way it looked, so I changed it.
I thought so. Oh, Liz, I don't think you've ever gone through with anything you've started. Why do you change your mind so much? I don't.
There's a perfectly logical explanation. I'm a woman and you're a man.
Well, what's the difference?
Now, let's not fight, George. Where are we meeting the Atterburys for dinner?
The green room.
We can't go to the green room.
Why not?
I'm wearing my blue dress. I'll clash.
We're going there. They're waiting for us.
Well, I don't want to go there. What stoop decided on the green room anyway?
You did.
Oh.
Oh, we're in luck. There's a parking space. You can pull in right there.
Okay. Oh, there's a closer one up the street. I'll go over there.
This is where I came in. Take this one, Liz. Finish one thing you start.
George, this one up here is much closer to... Oh, it's a fire plug.
No.
Well, I'll back up and take that first one. Oh, look, someone's sneaking into that place. I saw it first.
Liz, will you please make up your mind and do something with the car?
Okay, dear.
Now what? Why are you getting out?
Oh, I just made up my mind what to do with the car. I'm going to let you park it.
I hope they're not angry about waiting. Hiya, folks.
Hello, Liz. Hello, George boy.
Hello, George. Hello, Liz girl. Well, I'm sorry we're late. Well, let's get some menus in order. I wonder what's good.
Try the roast beef. It was delicious.
You've eaten already? No, he's fooling. Ha ha, Rudolph. Now shut up.
I'm hungry.
Well, let's get a waiter. Here comes one. May we have a... Oh, well, here's another one. Waiter, are you the... Well, I'll get this one.
I'll lay 3-1.
Waiter, if you don't mind, we'd like some,
Reminds me of an inscription I once saw on a waiter's tombstone. It said, St. Peter finally caught his eye.
A waiter I won't miss. Waiter.
Yes?
We'd like some menu.
Well, let go of my tails and I'll get you some.
I'll be right back.
Oh, look. Some people are leaving that table by the window. If we move over there, we can have a view while we're eating.
Remember what I told you, Liz. This table is fine.
Oh, come on, George. You'd like to move, wouldn't you, Iris?
Well,
I... You'd like to, wouldn't you, Mr. Atterbury?
Well,
I... See, George, it's 3-1.
But our stuff is already here.
Well, we'll take it with us. Iris, you carry the butter plate. Mr. Atterbury, the napkins. Yeah? George, here, you take the water glasses, and I'll carry the silverware. Hurry up. Someone else is heading for it.
All right.
Ah, good. We beat them. Everybody pass the things around now.
Here's a plate of water, Iris. Hand me a glass of butter.
Has everyone everything they need?
Yes, I have 3 knives.
I beat you. I have a full house. 3 forks and a pair of spoons.
You'd better call the waiter. He's looking under the other table for us.
There you are.
Yeah, we'll order over here.
Sorry, this isn't my table.
Oh, come on. Wait on us.
All right. Here's the menus.
Let's see. Oh, everything looks so good. I'll have the...
Sorry, we're all out of...
Very amusing. I'll have the roast beef.
Yeah, 1 roast beef.
What would you like, Iris?
I think I'll try the lamb chops.
Yeah, 1 lamb chop.
George, what looks good to you?
Lamb chops, huh? Oh, that sounds good. And they're not fattening either. Waiter, change mine to lamb chops, please.
Yes, ma'am. 2 lamb chops.
That's 2 for each of us.
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't want too much fat on them, but I like them thick.
Would you like me to trot the lamb by? You can pick out the chops you want.
Well.
Liz, don't make a scene.
Well, go ahead, George. You order.
I'd like the sirloin steak.
Yes, sir. One sirloin steak. How would you like it?
Rare and thick and juicy.
Right. And you, sir?
Well, I think I'll have a
Gee,
nice...
Gee, George, you made that steak sound so tasty. And...
Now, how would you like it, madam? Well, medium or rare?
Rare.
I'd like the pork chop.
Yes, sir. Now, what would you like to drink?
I...
You order last.
Coffee.
Coffee for me, too.
Milk.
And what would you like, madam?
Pork chops, huh?
Oh, no.
Would it be too much trouble to change my order?
Why, no. Whatever gave you that idea?
Well, I think I'd like pork chops.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, why don't you write it down?
I wrote it down for you when he ordered it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let's see if I've got this straight. Lamb chops for you, a steak for you, pork chops for you, and a new eraser for me.
You know, with all this talk about pork chops, they sound sort of...
Now, you keep quiet, Iris. We've had enough changing of mind.
Yeah, I'll get the appetizers while you fight it out.
What's the matter with you, Liz?
Well, I couldn't help it, George. Everything everyone else ordered sounded so just ginger peachy.
Fine thing. Everyone's staring at us.
Who is?
That couple right there.
The ones eating fried chicken?
Yes.
My, doesn't that chicken look good? I think I'll...
You wouldn't dare.
Now, forget it.
Who wants pork chops?
You'll eat them if I have to give them to you intravenously.
Some fun. Go out to dinner and can't even choose what you want to eat. I think it's a... Oh,
bless you. What's the matter? You catching cold?
Yes, there's a draft here from this window.
Oh, well, here, change seats with me.
No, that won't do any good. There's an empty table over behind those potted pots.
Stand by for another troop movement.
Sit down, Liz. We're staying here.
I'm afraid we're making a scene.
Do you want me to catch my death of cold, George? I'm not staying at this table.
Yeah, here we are. Shrimp
cocktail, don't stand up, please. You'll get the waiter.
Now, aren't you ashamed of yourself sneaking up behind me and hitting me with a tray?
Liz, I've never been so humiliated in my life. The Atterburys probably won't ever go to dinner with us again.
I'm sorry, George. I guess it was my fault. Everybody seems to think so.
Poor Mr. Atterbury, with shrimp cocktails all over him.
He sure looks silly.
Well, you didn't help any trying to pull that shrimp off his face.
Well, how'd I know it was his nose? Put cocktail sauce on your nose and see what it looks like.
All right, all right.
His nose looks like a shrimp without cocktail sauce.
Liz, this has been a very tiring evening. Now, let's go to bed.
All right.
Well, what are you standing there looking in the mirror for?
I can't make up my mind if I should put my hair up tonight or not.
That does it!
Well, George, why are you looking at me like that?
I can't make up my mind whether to spank you on my right knee or my left knee.
Spank me?
Liz, I'm sick of this inability of yours to make up your mind. Now, why are you so wishy-washy?
I can't help it. My father was a wishy and my mother was a washy.
No mood for jokes.
I can see that.
Whoever started this idea that women have a special privilege of changing their minds?
Don't look at me. I didn't do it.
Well, I don't go for it. And as far as I'm concerned, from now on, you're the same as a man.
I am?
Yes. Now, what have you got to say about that?
Let's go down to the club and have a steam.
Now, I mean as far as making decisions and getting things finished is concerned. Starting right now, when you decide to do something, you're going to do it and not change your mind.
Yes, George.
And once you start anything, you're going to finish it. Understand?
Yes, George. Oh, I just love you when you're so dominating.
No, never mind.
I give you my solemn promise, George, and I'm going to begin right now finishing what I started. Kiss me.
Now, what for?
I started to kiss you this morning, the telephone rang.
Okay.
Oh, George, you're so right about this whole thing. Come on, let's finish that again.
Mrs. Cooper, you've been flying around here all morning. What in the world are you doing?
Katie, last night I went to the George Cooper Finishing School.
Huh?
I promised George that from now on I'd finish everything I started. I'm even going back and finish all the things I ever left undone.
This I gotta see.
Katie, when you hear what I'm going to do now, you'll drop dead.
What?
I'm going to clean out the hall desk. Oh, get up, Katie. Come on, I've threatened to clean out that desk for years. You can help me.
I'm not touching that desk till you spray it with DDT.
Oh, it's not that bad, Katie. You're exaggerating.
I am not. It's the only desk I've ever seen where the pigeonholes have pigeons in them.
Come on, let's go. We'll open the middle drawer. Ooh, it's stuck.
I don't wonder. It's so crammed full of junk.
Well, help me pull it open and then jump out of the way. One, two, three. Not as bad as I thought.
How long has it been since you cleaned it out?
Well, not too long. There's a newspaper on top of the pile. Let's see what it says. McKinley assassinated.
What?
Oh, I remember. Iris Atterbury gave me this paper. It has a recipe on the back.
Well, where'll we start?
Well, first, let's get rid of these bundles of... Oh, Katie, look what I found. Our love letters. Oh,
now, Mrs. Cooper, don't start reading those now. Oh, Mrs. Cooper.
Oh, that George.
Let's get started with the...
Oh, I called him my little cupcake.
That's nice. Now, about...
He called me his cream puff. He said he liked the way my crust was filled.
Please, let's get this desk done.
Wait a minute. Listen to this letter. George, when you read this, I will be far away. I am going home to Mother.
Now, there's a real love letter.
Oh, I know what this is. I wrote it after our first quarrel. Listen, I never want to see you again, you big...
Well, don't stop now.
That's all there is. I didn't finish it.
Well, why not?
Well, just as I was writing it, I got a wire from George saying he'd gone home to his mother.
Did you ever get back together again?
Katie, gee, just think how different things might have been if I'd finished this letter and sent it to George. Hey, wait a minute.
What's that gleam in your eye for?
Well, I promised George I'd finish everything I ever started, and I started this letter and it isn't finished. Now, I'll mail it special delivery so he'll get it this afternoon.
How do you think Mr. Cooper will react when he thinks you're leaving him?
I know exactly how. He'll come rushing home and beg me to stay. He'll think I found out something he's done.
Well, suppose he hasn't done anything.
Katie, when a man's wife is leaving him, he doesn't say, did I do something she found out about? He says, which one did she find out about? Just wait till this letter's delivered and watch Georgie come marching home on his knees.
Bullseye! Well, George, boy, that's the last game of darts we have time for. Have to do some bank business, you know.
You know, it was a wonderful idea of yours to put this dart game in the recreation room, Mr. Atterbury.
Oh, thank you. Now, take the pin points out of the darts and put them back on the counters.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness, look at the time. It's almost the end of the day.
That's right, 2:45.
Pardon me, Mr. Cooper. Here's some mail for you. I thought you'd want it.
Thanks.
I thought you'd want it.
Thanks again.
What was that?
That's my new secretary. She's so new, I haven't even found out her name yet.
Yeah, we'll wait till she lights someplace, then ask her.
Well, let's see what this important mail is.
Why, Cooper boy, that letter's perfumed. Oh, you devil, you. Who's it from?
Yeah, I'm darned if I know. Listen, dear sister, 2 weeks from now, we're holding our annual powwow at Old State U. Won't you be there to greet your sisters of dear old Delta Upsilon Delta? What the heck is that?
Don't you know, sister?
No wonder it's addressed to Mrs. George Cooper, care of me.
Well, I wondered how long you'd been powwowing with the girl.
Delta Upsilon Delta, D-U-D. Oh, that's Liz's sorority. Doesn't Iris belong to the same one?
Yes, she's a dud, too. Iris got her invitation yesterday.
Look, tonight, why don't we talk our wives into going? It'll do them good to get away from us for a week.
Good idea. We'll insist that they go. Well, boy, it's almost quitting time. Let's go out the back way. I don't want the employees to see me leaving early.
Mr. Cooper, here's another letter that just came for you. Special delivery. Mr. Cooper? Oh, I guess they're gone. Well, it's on his wife's stationery. I guess she'll tell him what's in it when he gets home. I'll give it to him tomorrow.
I can hardly wait for George to get home.
Liz Cooper, you didn't really send that letter to him, did you, girl?
I certainly did, and I'm going to have plenty of fun with him before I break down and tell him the truth.
Ooh, this is exciting.
Oh, here they come. I'll bet he's terribly upset.
Oh, no, yes.
He, doesn't sound too upset.
Well, he's probably hysterical. Watch what he says when he comes in.
Hi, Liz. What's for dinner?
Well, that's it, George. Keep up a front. Hide the grief that's in your heart.
What are you talking about?
It smells good, whatever it is.
Go ahead, George. You can speak in front of the Atterburys.
You lost me someplace, Liz. Come again.
Did you get a letter at the bank today?
Oh, your letter.
Yes, my letter.
I'm glad you reminded me. I forgot all about it.
Well, thanks a lot. Weren't you a little surprised when you opened it?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was. I couldn't figure it out at first.
It sure sounded funny when he read it to me.
George Cooper, you didn't read my letter to Mr. Atterbury.
Well, sure, why not? Oh, well, let's talk about it after dinner. It's not important.
Not important? We'll talk about it right now. What do you have to say about it?
Well, I think you ought to go.
You think I ought to go?
Well, sure. Oh, don't worry about me. I'll get along fine. Oh, I don't know why you're crying. It'll be wonderful for both of us.
George Cooper, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You keep out of this, Iris. This is their affair.
Rudolph Atterbury, I think you even agree with that heel.
I do.
What?
As a matter of fact, since Liz is going, I think you should go, too.
Come on, Iris. We could take a hint. Let's go.
Gee, Mr. Atterbury, I had no idea this meant so much to the girls.
Those sororities really get a hold on them, don't they?
Can't sit here all night, Iris. They close the green room at midnight.
You know, I've been thinking, Liz, I'm happy. And you should be. We're free.
Yeah, we're free.
No more bothersome husbands. No more bothersome husbands. No more smelly pipes and awful cigars.
No more wonderful pipes and lovely cigars.
No more cold feet in the middle of our bike.
This is the happiest day of my life.
Oh, we gotta stop crying. Is my mascara running?
Yes. Your face looks like it's behind bars.
Got a hanky?
Do you want to blow or mop?
Mop.
Well, here. Here's one dry corner left.
Thanks.
Iris! Iris!
Oh, George!
Oh!
You two scatterbrains, you ran away for nothing.
We did?
Yes, yes. Katie told us about the letter you wrote. He never got it. We were talking about your sorority reunion. The announcement came to the bank in care of me.
Oh, George, I'm so happy. Me too.
Well, let's all stay here and have dinner. It'll be a celebration.
Okay. Waiter, dear.
Oh, there you are. I've been looking for you. Now, which one wanted the lamb chop?
My Favorite Husband, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 6th of January, 1950 on CBS. That was an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast. Wrapping up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for listening.